Oh, so you're going to be tempted to look at the screen. Don't.
Don't, right, look at the
Look at the
camera.
camera, or
Okay.
really just look at me.
Because you're just so beautiful.
Thank you. Well, that too, of course. Hey there, this is Seth Waters from Channel 9 coming to you from our beautiful Studio B. Steve Lasker emailed me frantically and said we have some really cool stuff coming out soon.
We've got some new stuff, yeah. We've got some additions to the Azure Container Registry. We launched in March, where it went general availability, and the team has been actively working on adding new features based on requests. And we wanted to get a preview of that out, so we wanted to give people a good look and see.
The thing I like about containerization, and I'm just starting to understand it, is that it literally takes away a lot of the problems that used to happen with development. So for those that are not familiar with this type of technology, why don't you describe it just a little bit and then
Sure.
maybe talk about what a container registry is and why it's
So
important.
containers are VMs at a whole nother level. With VMs, we have the ability to package up our apps and we put it on this OS that is not the OS that's on the host machine, right? But the ops team owns the OS. There's lots of apps that get put into each VM, and it becomes complex to deploy. With containers, we can actually define the contents of that VM, if you will, in a Docker file. It says from this base image, which could be an OS, it could be a layer that has the .NET framework on it, Node, whatever.
Ruby, whatever.
Ruby, yeah. And then it basically says from this base image, which includes the OS, includes the frameworks, add in my stuff. And my stuff could be an app. So now what I can do is I can declaratively define my, not just my app, but the environment for my app and say, okay, build system, go build me this entire environment. So if I have to add like WCF or if I have to add, SQL or I probably put that in a separate container, but if I have to add capabilities, I don't have to hand that off to somebody else that says, can you please install this on the VM for me? It's here's everything I need in this Docker file.
And it's a little thinner than a VM too, as well. Am I right in that?
Yeah, absolutely. So VMs are like, a whole OS. And what Docker is, it basically shares the kernel from the image to the OS, or the hosting OS. So now I can get a lot more density because I can run a lot more virtualization on a smaller space. And there's a lot of things about it, right? Containers are made to start up fast. We don't expect VMs to start up very fast. We start them up, we let them run for a long time. Containers, I can start, do a particular job, and just shut it down and be done. It might serve, a batch job. It might serve a web page, or it could be any kind of unit of work. And that's what's beautiful, about it is I run it, I make it go away, I don't worry about the VM getting polluted and logs filling up or anything like that.
You mentioned this notion of base image, and I think this is a good segue into talking about what a registry is.
Yeah, so when you have a collection of images that you're running, right, in your production environment, you want to, the whole idea with container orchestrators is you tell it, run this image for me, and you give it this URI. And basically would say, Steve Lass, dot AZACR, sorry, ACR, dot IO, slash web, version one. And it says, run this thing for me. Well, that URI, it says pull from a place. And it could pull from Docker Hub, but then you're kind of leaving over the internet and you don't have the same kind of security. So companies always set up private registries. In Azure, we have the Azure Container Registry. And then what it says is, hey, when you run this image, because of that address, this machine that might not have anything on it can say, oh, I don't have that. I'm going to go get it, download it, and then run it.
Okay.
So it's nice that it packages those, components to it. And that's what Docker did really well, is Docker VBified, if you will,
Right.
Container development, and just made it really simple with some really easy, elegant APIs and a pattern for how you work with them.
So I've heard of, you just mentioned Azure Container Registry. What does that have to do with Azure Container Service? So how are they related?
Yeah, so a couple things. So there's kind of primitives, right? We have container technologies, and I can just run containers on an individual machine. And then the idea of containers is I run a collection of them. I can use these things called orchestrators. And ACS, we have Kubernetes, we have Docker Swarm, and Mesos DCOS. So we have a collection of container orchestrators that can run. But we also think of containers as this new unit of deployment. Because they're so nice, they
Sure.
package the OS, I can run it off an app service Linux. I can run it on individual VM. We can run it on new things that are evolving in Azure that they'll be coming soon. So containers just become a unit of deployment. Orchestrators is one of the places I can run
I see. So you don't necessarily, you may have an Azure Container Registry, but you may have a different Jenkins DevOps pipeline that pushes it to these registry images to some other deployment method.
Yeah, and what we also see is people may not be ready to take containers into production on their production workloads because mm-hmm. they have to figure out the orchestrators and there's some things there to figure out. But devs love it. So what we found is a lot of companies are using containers to run tests against their VMs. Because what do you want when you run a test?
You want a clean environment.
Yeah, you just want to start it over fresh every time. And containers are beautiful. You just say, you know, compose up or Docker run, and it spins up, runs its tests, and it's done. So yeah, containers are used throughout the entire workflow.
I see.
Not just for running things in production, DevOps.
So the container registry is more like a set of things that you can have, and it's just like a repository of clean environments of stuff that you may or may not want to do. And you don't necessarily have to be doing anything with a orchestration service or maybe even deploying these things to production.
Well, it's a collection. It's your library of images.
Got it.
I have a place whenever I do a build of an image, I want to put that image somewhere. So when I say Docker run or Docker compose up, that image that I give it, that name I give it, has a place to find it. And then I own that in Azure, so I can configure it with my own credentials, my own access,
that's cool.
So on and so forth.
It's like when I used to play video games in the 90s, and I would hit save when it's a really good state. And then if I screwed up, I just like turned it off and went back.
That is
this
true.
This is a video game registry, so to speak, but for programs.
That is true.
Nice.
True.
So what are the new things that you want to talk about?
All right. So when we switch over, here we've got the Azure Container Registry as you'd see it today.
Okay.
And I could come over and say add. So what I'm going to do is create a new registry.
Okay.
And we'll call this Steve Last 2, just because we've got a bunch of these right now. 2. And what we'll notice is that we have the ability to use a managed registry. This is the new feature. And you'll notice it says this is in preview, by the way.
What does a managed registry actually mean?
It's a great question. So today, before this feature is, before any of our new features are enabled, you would have a storage account in your account, an actual Azure storage account in your subscription, rather. And we can't do anything with it because it's your subscription. We can't really hook up webhooks the way we want. We can't really hook up, a shared cache across all of the registries for common images that come from Docker Hub. So eventually the term managed will go away, but it's just our way to flip over from the set of SKUs that we can add all these new features to the one where you have a storage account in your subscription.
Got it.
Okay. So anyway, so we have a basic, standard, and premium SKU.
What's the difference?
Mostly around storage and number of operations.
Got it.
The basic is kind of what we think of as an individual developer. Standard is what we think most people will use. And then the premium will have some larger scale features and some new features that we'll be adding that I'll talk about next month. Maybe.
Got it.
So let's say go ahead and create. And so now it'll go off and it'll create that registry for us. And that will have some of the preview capabilities that we're adding here. And we'll see if that's, there we go. So as I come over here, we can see we won't be able to see that yet, but the idea is that under access keys, you'll notice I didn't actually enable the admin account. And this is key because up to this point, we either had a single admin account that everybody was sharing, there's no differentiation from anybody, or you had to create a service principal, which is great. We'll still use those for headless scenarios like VSTS doing builds and so forth. But I had no way to individually identify Seth or me or somebody else. So now what I can do is do an AZ ACR login, and I'll pass the name of the registry. I think it was 2 there. And what that'll do is that's going to take my Azure credentials as I'm signed into Azure AD and route it to the registry configuration for Docker. So now I will be able to push and pull images as me. So we can take a look at what we have here. It's got a couple of images, including some other ones. So let's do a Docker tag of web to be steve_last2cr.io/demos/web, and we'll make it 1. So now what I can do is push that image to the registry and I didn't have to do any logins with service principals or the admin account. It's pushing it as me. So I could now manage individual credentials. So that's just a really good benefit now that I can take advantage of your individual identity.
I see. So what you've done then is there was a container definition on your local machine that you're pushing up as you.
As me. Got and that my the login didn't have to be something else. So I can come over here, for instance, and if we notice, we see that the registry for that we just created is actually stored as the Windows credential store. So it is, but the credential that it has in there is actually my Azure identity.
I see.
So I don't have to, you know, it's just I don't have to do a Docker login with yet another credential.
Well, not only that, but if you're sharing like this one password that eventually someone puts in a notepad file on a share, that's
exactly.
Not a good idea.
Exactly.
And so that's nice. Cool.
Okay, so that's in the Windows credential store. In fact, if I look down here, we could even find it here. I probably have to refresh here, just come over here. And we can see that there's our Steve Last 2 credentials, just to show that we've actually got it really secure, so you don't have things just sitting in clear text on the machine.
And that's nice, because now anytime I do any Docker operations, like I need to update an image or I want to pull one down, you don't have to do this weird password dance.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So the next thing I wanted to show is webhooks. You know, webhooks is just becoming this great way to stitch things together across the internet. Rather than polling all the time, it's kind of like looking at my phone for Facebook all the time, mm-hmm. and saying, you know, did somebody message me? We could set up the little vibrate thing that says, let me pull it out of my pocket because somebody actually messaged
sure.
me. So we've now added webhooks here, and we can go add them. We have another handy dandy feature here is that I can say, create webhook right here. And now what I can do is actually set this up to send notifications to a webhook. So let's just call it Steve Last 2. And we'll send this, I'm gonna send this to Slack.
Okay.
I wanna do a Slack notification every time an update is made. Now it's asked me for the service URI. So at this point, I really kinda have to think about it from the end in mind. So let's come over to Slack and we'll do a little integration over here. We'll add an app integration. We'll search for webhooks.
I see, because you need to hook into Slack and it's going to call whatever URI that you pull here.
Exactly. Right? So webhooks is just a way to call a URL because it's a standard way to cross the internet without, you know, funky firewall configurations. And so I'm just going to set this up. You know, and a lot of these services are set this up for various build integrations, you know, Twilio and so forth. So I'm just going to add this. And now I get a webhook URL, and I can see I've got a bunch of things to configure it down here, including what channel to post it to, because I don't want to, if I've got automation, I don't want all this stuff going into my normal Slack channel. Now, if we look a little closer here, there's also a lot of other configurations, such as how does the body get posted in the Slack channel. But we'll skip that for a moment because that'll come up next. So I'll copy this URL. And now this is where I could paste it in here. So what it basically says is every time an operation, a push operation in this case, happens, send it to this URL with a JSON body. So we'll create that. And you notice we actually had a scope. So in this case, that one was just everything under that web repo. So
got
if
it.
I post things outside of web, that particular one won't get a notification. So if I come over here and go to webhooks, we can see we've got one created here. And I can actually do a ping, and it'll actually be a test. I don't even need to push an image to it yet. We can just do a ping and see what happens. And turns out, we actually got a failure. Let's crank this up a little bit here. And that's the payload that we sent. Action is ping. And we can see right here in the UI, we've captured what we're sending and the response. And we can see that, where's the error?
I think it's down.
Error,
yeah.
Well, here, error. And then the payload is it's missing text or fallback and blah, blah, blah. And it turns out it actually needs a special format in the body.
Sure.
So, okay, you know, that's interesting. I have to go figure that out. But at least I was able to figure that out here in the portal.
Sure.
Now, If I come over and configure this, you'll notice we can do custom headers. We can't yet do custom body message formatting, but this is something we'll add, part of the preview.
Sure.
But that's okay because it's actually a great way to show off Azure Functions. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to create an Azure function, have it be the webhook, and then what I'll do is I'll have ACR send it to the function.
And then you can
the
do
the function
whatever.
Will do the conversion because it's just code, and it will send it off to Slack for us. So let's do this really quick. We'll come over here. We'll create a new function, a webhook API. We'll use that template.
And this actually might be nicer because then, like, let's just say you go to something other than Slack or you want it to send a text message. You literally don't have to do anything anymore with the repository, you know, the webhook there, because it's going to go to Azure Function. You just change the Azure Function to whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah. This is where I can actually do the coding I want. We'll do some, you know, macro expansion and so forth in the portal, but we're not going to give you the ability to do code. So what I've done here is all I'm doing is taking the incoming payload. I will construct the message that Slack needs, and then I will send it off to Slack. All right, so that's the code for that, but you'll notice I'm actually using a Newtonsoft package in there. So with this, I just need to tell it how to get that NuGet package. So I'll add a project, add project.json, and we'll just copy this in here, which says, go grab the Newtonsoft payload, and we'll see that it's now doing the NuGet restore.
Okay.
So that's all good. And if I switch back over to my code, we'll clear this out. We should be able to run this, and it will now complete. It says it was good. And if we go to our Slack channel, we'll see that, yep, we actually did get a post.
Okay.
So at least from our Azure function, we know that we were able to send a webhook to there. Now, the next thing I want to do is test it from our portal. So we're going to change this, right? Because I need to change the URL here because this is now trying to call Slack directly. I'll get the function's URL. I'll update this to do our man in the middle of an Azure function. And we'll ping this again. And that was successful. Give it a second here to come back with our log. We did do a ping, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm doing it the wrong place. That's why.
There we go.
Okay. So now we can see we had response and it was good. And if we look over here, yep, we've got our ping. So now the last thing we want to do is actually just see if changes to our registry go through. So we'll do a Docker tag. We'll name it to.
And then what is Docker tagging doing? Is that creating a new?
So what a tag does is you notice the URI now. I'm going to push that. Mm-hmm. We'll let that go up, and it's going to say, okay, those exist. But let's go back to what your question is. If you look at the list of images here, here's the original image we had. In fact, you could see the image ID.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll notice there's all these other ones that we were messing with. And the image IDs are the same because they happen to be made up the same, but they have a name that's unique. These are like, I don't want to call them twins, but you know, each one of these is an individual name. So this is the fully qualified registry. It's if I said just web, it would assume Docker Hub.
I see.
The fact that I've got this name up front says I'm not going to go to Docker Hub. I'm going to go to try to find a registry with that URL as its root address.
I see. Okay.
When you say just web, it inserts Docker.io in there.
I see. And then you tag them with that. Anytime you add a new image, you're going to be putting it in that with that tag.
When I say tag and I put it a fully qualified name, when I do push, it's actually using that as the address. It says, let me find that server.
Okay, got it.
And then push that image up to it. And if we look over here at our registry, we'll look at repositories. And we'll see there's our web. There's the two tags that we've sent. If we look at our webhooks, we can see that we've actually sent a push.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at functions, we'll see that there was another success that came through. And if we look over here, we could see that we were able to get a push. We can see the size. We can see which repository and the tag that was sent. We could even see the client that sent it up. So there's a pretty rich amount of information
sure.
that's in the notification that we push up. So now that we've got, you know, the ability to get notifications, one of the things that we keep on getting asked is, well, how do I delete all these extra images that I'm pushing up?
Sure.
The Docker registry, the OSS product that, you know, all of us wind up using, don't actually have registry or repo level deletes. So we've added that capability.
Cool.
So let's take a look. We can see, let's do AZ, ACR, repository, delete, dash H, and we can see what the commands are. And you'll notice that we've got a couple of them here. So we'll just take this one. We'll tell it the name, Steve Last 2, and the repository that we did, was it web? This is, we're going to show this right here.
I think it was just web.
Demo/web. So I could say repository demo/web and delete it right here. And I'll say, are you sure? Because it could be lots of tags. And I'll say, yes. And that's fine. I could have also deleted it right from here as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing a lot of rich integration with the portal as well as the CLI so you can get that full experience. So that's kind of the preview features that we've done. We are switching to more of what we call a managed registry, where we'll provide a much richer set of capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Where we'll, in this preview, we've added individual identity with Azure AD. We've added webhooks for notifications to stitch together, you know, this web workloads, and the ability to delete repositories and tags as well.
Well, this is awesome. I'm sure those that are wanting to use this, you should be looking at containerization. I know I am pretty excited about it. Thanks for spending some time with us, bud.
Thanks again. We'll
Thanks so much for watching. Again, we're here in Studio B at the Channel 9 Studios. My name is Seth Juarez. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Take care.